I'm Carol Hills, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. On the day that Donald Trump accepted the Republican Party's nomination for president last July, we heard from one of the many Republicans who stayed away from his party's convention in Cleveland.
Well, I think what we're seeing in Cleveland is the death gasp of the grumpy old party.
That was former South Carolina Representative Bob Inglis. At the time, he was intensely critical of Donald Trump and was pretty sure his party would lose in November, partly because of their position on climate change.
We're basically pulling defeat down upon us by taking on this retroaffect that says that climate change isn't real.
Well, that was then. Trump won, of course, and the Republicans' position on climate change doesn't seem to have hurt the party. So how did Inglis, like a lot of us in the media, get this election so wrong? We got back in touch with him this week via Skype.
Well, I think we're not wrong yet. I think it's just a timing question. In other words, yes, the prairie fire burns on, but I think it's going to burn out. Now, of course, that's another prediction. It's a very dangerous thing to predict the future. But what we've seen is that there was this prairie fire that has consumed a lot of normal discourse in politics. It threatens to consume some of our institutions, and it surely threatens to consume the data about climate change.
Inglis believes that data, which tells us that climate change is real and that humans are largely responsible. And he believes it's dangerous to ignore it, as the Trump administration seems determined to do. There's one piece of climate policy, though, on which Inglis actually agrees with Trump, getting rid of President Obama's Clean Power Plan, which would force electric utilities to cut their climate pollution.
I think it's okay to eliminate the Clean Power Plan because we're going to meet those marks anyway. By the conversion of coal to natural gas, we're going to exceed the Clean Power Plan targets just by those market forces. What we have here in climate change is a problem of economics. If you fix the economics, we can take care of the environment as well.
But Trump isn't trying to fix the economics, so this is going to happen in spite of him?
Well, that's a good point, is that the reality is that it's possible to repeal the Clean Power Plan. But it sure will be more difficult for Donald Trump to repeal the price of natural gas. And so the populist false promises made to the coal miners, these jobs aren't coming back. The reason they went away was not some war on coal. It was fracking. It's innovation. And you can't reverse that innovation.
You've called yourself an optimist. How has that been challenged by what you've seen so far from Trump?
Well, it is a challenge to see what's happening in the administration that's forming in Washington, but there's some hope out of Trump Tower in New York. I mean, if Ivanka Trump really wants to make this a signature issue, we'd be excited about working with her. And there is some indication, I think, that there's a tension between where is the decision making? Is it in Trump Tower or will it be in Washington? And so we believe at republican.org that Donald Trump could be the guy that completes this sentence. Richard Nixon went to China, Bill Clinton signed welfare reform, and Donald Trump did climate change. Because he might just realize that this really is a perfect place for the art of the deal. This is a tailor-made situation for going with an approach that actually is attractive to many progressives as well as rock-solid conservatives, that you just put the cost of the negative effects of burning fossil fuels into the price of the product, then consumers drive demand for innovation.
What's your strategy now for pushing your party and your country on that avenue?
To approach them this way, with some humility and realize that, so Donald Trump won. Now your back isn't against the wall anymore. Now, can we talk about climate change? Is there a way that free enterprise can fix this?
Do you see any appointees that give you any confidence?
The one that I take most confidence in, that probably many on the environmental left don't see it the same way we do on the eco-right, is actually Rex Tillerson. The fact that Rex Tillerson said that he's for a revenue-neutral, border-adjustable carbon tax and changed the position of ExxonMobil away from the dispute of this climate science to acceptance of that science, it might just be that Rex Tillerson could show the president and the rest of the administration that, yes, there's a way that free enterprise can solve climate change.
Former Congressman Bob Inglis, a Republican who now runs Republic EN, a free market environmental organization. Thanks, Bob.
Great to be with you, Carol.